So first I'd like to thank Nick and Aaron and Jeff Eddy's worked hard here, and Johnny O has worked hard to make this place happen. I'd like to thank them for this. And what's her name?
Sadie.
And Sadie. She's all excited. So we have this dream that we would like, you know, I think it's important that in your spiritual life you should have a meditation practice. You should have some kind of physical practice, Tai Chi, yoga, something, jogging, golf. Why not? And I think you should have some regular study. You should be studying. You should just continue studying your whole life. It keeps your brain soft. And then I think you need to serve people. And I think if you're missing any one of those components, it doesn't quite work. Something's missing, right? I think I would add rest. What's his name? Swami. His teacher, Vishnu Devananda. He said that resting was the fifth one, like knowing when to rest. So we're working on that one. My assistants are still standing up, which we're working on that. But I think without service, the rest can happen. So we had this dream of having a center in Phoenix. We could be in Scottsdale. We've gotten invitations to be in Scottsdale. Scottsdale is the wealthier part of Phoenix. It's on the other side of town, the east side. You know, we could be there, and there'd be lots of people coming, and we just discussed it, and we decided we'd rather be in the barrio. We'd like to be in a Mexican-American area that we can serve people. So if you go 1 mile that way, you hit Bethany Home Road, which is, I think it's about 18 trailer parks in a row, and across the street. We're thinking to buy a piece of land about half a mile from here, which is, I think, 12 acres. It's an abandoned asphalt with glass, broken glass on it, barbed wire. It was a car dealership. The car dealerships in Phoenix used to be in this town, and then they all collapsed. There's only one left, I think. And they left these vast plains of asphalt. So we were looking at a piece of property. We were told we couldn't have the whole thing because there were still two businesses running on it. They've closed now, and the whole thing is abandoned. And it's in the middle of Glendale City. Glendale, when I was growing up, was separate from Phoenix. There were onion fields between this and Phoenix. And you know, this was sort of kind of like lower middle class people. My teacher grew up here. My first teacher grew up here. So for me, it has a big meaning to have a center in Glendale and to serve the people of Glendale. I don't think it's going to happen like fast. It's not like it's going to be hip and hundreds of people are going to show up here. It's going to grow slowly. And it's going to be people who need some thing cool happening in their community, and I hear the yoga classes are now being pretty well attended, and the meditation's going good, and we started in New York like that. We started with 7 people in Hell's Kitchen, which was not a very nice place, and now we have a nice center there, and I think you can say that several thousand people have been affected by that center, and I think this center will grow the same way. When we get strong enough and large enough, we would like to build more of a traditional Spanish style sort of community center about a half a mile from here, and provide job training. And we think it's solar especially, and we've talked to the city government about that, and we've had meetings with community leaders of Glendale about that. And we have a lot of connections with China, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, Jakarta, where the solar panels are made. And we would like to bring solar panels here, maybe have a small factory, teach local people to build them. And then we had a dream to supply like a million panels to people in the Sonora Desert area, which unfortunately was cut across by a border 100 years ago or a little more, meaning the U.S.-Mexico border, right? So we want to serve everyone on either side who needs help and just ignore the border. And that's part of the idea. We would provide, what do you call it, immigration help, legal help. We have a very, very good prison project going. Jeff Eddy's running that. Where are you? And Nick. And so I kind of feel like it looks like the prison project is going to be what runs the rest of it. And so we're serving prisoners, a lot of prisoners in the state of Arizona. That project started, I think, almost 15 years ago. In near Agua Prieta and Douglas, we started working with the first prisoners. So that's the vision for this place, and I think it will slowly grow. And to provide people with what do you call it? Not, they don't have to be Buddhist; they can be whatever they are, but they will get help here, and we will serve them. Across the street from the proposed location is a family intervention center built by Glendale City, a huge place where women go, battered women go, and to help children and things like that. So I think we would, there's a Damle Kyekyang Damki Kyunma Gu, what's that? Damle Kyekyang Damki Kyunma Gu. Dam means a swamp or a muck. What? Yeah. Born from filth but not infected by it. What is that? What flower does that mean? It's a lotus. Okay, so I like to think of this center as being a lotus. And we put it in one of the most difficult areas of Phoenix. This is, I mean, all the cars got broken into the first couple of weeks. And, you know, we've put it in a difficult part of Phoenix. And I think that's where we should be. We should choose the most difficult places because you can help more people there. And so that's the idea of this center, is to bring, it's easy to bring light to the upper middle class in Scottsdale. It's more, I think it's more rewarding to make people conscious in a very difficult area, maybe where people don't have a chance to meditate, when people don't have a chance to do yoga. It would be nice for them to learn to eat well, exercise well, and things like that. I think we can do more good here. And I'm grateful for the people who have pioneered this place and who had the courage to stay here. You know, there are cushier assignments like Paris. You know, lots of people signed up for that. But this one is, I'm proud of the people who have taken this place and making it nice. And I think, and I love this area. It means a lot to me. So anyway, thank you for that. All right. So we've been on the subject, and I like this. It feels good to me to have a teaching here under the stars, and maybe we do it more often. We're at a point where we're studying a text which was written by the teacher of the teacher of the current Dalai Lama, who was also one of my teacher's teachers. And it's an A to Z presentation of the path to enlightenment, how to get to enlightenment from A to Z. It's 1,000 pages long. We made a commitment to go through the whole thing. It's going to take about 10 to 15 years. We're in the third year, I think. It's just enjoyable to go through it slowly. My teacher took me through it for 30 years. So we're going to go through it. In this particular class, we will follow the Tibetan text. I'll be referring to the Tibetan, mainly for future generations, because there was a big disruption in Buddhism. Tibetan people lost their country. Their libraries, 5,000 libraries were burned. 1 million people died. So there's nobody really left alive from old Tibet. My teacher was the youngest you could have been and completed your studies in old Tibet. So he graduated 4 years before the loss of Tibet. And then he died in 2004 at the age of 86. So I'm going to follow the Tibetan so that it's recorded on film and you can pass it on in later generations. Okay? So please don't be frustrated with me referring to the Tibetan. I'm trying to preserve it for future generations. Okay? All right. So we're studying how to meditate, and we're studying certain steps that you do before you do a meditation in the way that you would warm up before a race. And we've been going through pre-visualizations that you do before meditation. We have reached a thing called Soksing, which is a practice where you're supposed to make so much good karma in so little time just before you start your meditation that your meditation will go magically well. And this is a good practice before meetings with your boss or dinners with your ex-wife or, you know, any difficult situation you're going into, like a yoga class. You could do this quick little karmic pick-me-up. You collect a lot of heavy karma very quickly, and you burn off bad karma very quickly. And then whatever you're going to do, so if you have something important that day, if you have a job interview or you're going to ask for a loan or something, and if you want it to go well, do your meditation, do your yoga, and do this little practice that he's describing. Okay. In this context, it's to be used before a meditation. So you do it before, just before you meditate, you do this quick little karmic pick-me-up. Okay. It's a picture in your mind where you are honoring your teacher, okay? Whoever that teacher may be. It could be Jesus, it could be Muhammad, it could be someone who's alive, it could be someone who died a long time ago, it could be your mother, it could be your high school teacher, it could be your high school boyfriend. Whoever in your life, the definition of root lama is whoever opened your heart the most in your life. He defined it last year, I think. So you're supposed to bring to mind the person who has opened your heart the most in your life. My root lama is not a Buddhist, okay? And I bring to mind that person, you know? So I met them long before I started Buddhism. So you bring to mind your heart teacher. And then, so we're describing how to bring to mind your heart teacher. It could be someone who's passed away already. It could be someone you haven't met yet. Okay? But you bring to mind what you imagine as your heart teacher. Okay? Dayang. So your heart lama here has a special name. Say lama. Losang. Tubong. Dojechang. Lama. Losang. Tubong. Dojechang, okay, which is four different names, okay, and we're going to go through each one of them. Number one, Dayang, you got me, Ningbo? Where is Ningbo? You all right? Is it? He's got the cursor in the right place. All right. So you can follow the Tibetan if you want. Just a warning, Tibetan has extra letters in front of letters. Okay? So Lama is Blama. Okay? But you'll get used to it. It's like Oblama. Okay? And so you'll figure it out. Okay? I expect somebody to be on their iPhone and giving us updates, by the way. Okay. By the way, tonight is a very important Buddhist holiday. Just all these things have come together. It's our first really event, my first teaching here. It's election night. It's also called, say, Thabap Duchen. It's one of the five great Buddhist holidays of the year is tonight. And this is the night on which, so Lord Buddha, after he became an enlightened being, at some point his father had already died, and he decided it was important to go talk to his father and make sure he was okay and even give him instructions on spiritual life. So he figured out that his father, after dying, was born on another planet, in another solar system, right? And I don't know which one it is, okay? We can figure it out someday. But he went there. With his miracle powers, he traveled to that planet, and he taught his father. And then obviously his disciples on this planet were a little bit worried that he might like that planet better. And then, so today marks the day that he came back. So it means the angel descended. It means he came back, and he dropped down again on this earth. And so I think today is a special day to honor your parents. And he felt it was worth the time in the middle of his mission on this planet to take, I forget, it was a month or something. He disappeared, and he went to help his father. And in Buddhism, as in Christianity, as in Judaism, it's important to honor your father and mother. I guess in Islam also, right? So it's crucially important to honor your father and mother. So you can think of today as Father and Mother's Day in the Buddhist tradition. So that we have beautiful things happening today. And the election of a new leader. And I propose that we dedicate this class, this time together, to the success of the new leader, whoever it is, you know, whether it's A or B, that we dedicate the good karma of this class to that leader being wise and compassionate and helping people, okay? Maybe we can affect what happens, okay? All right. Dayan Lama Shepa, what does Lama mean in the word Lama Losan Tubon Dorje Chang, okay? Lama means Rangki Lama. What's Rangki Lama? Your own personal teacher. Again, it doesn't have to be Buddhist. It doesn't have to be a human, it could be a dog. I had someone who would passionately believe that their root lama was their dog, and I'm fine with that. And whoever's your personal teacher. Okay. Losang refers to Gyalwa Tsongkhapa. So in our tradition, the founder of the Dalai Lama's tradition was named Tsongkhapa. He lived from 1357 to 1419. And he was just a cool guy, and he helped spread Buddhism in Tibet. He helped get there, okay? I guess you could think of Tsongkhapa as the person who has carried on the tradition of wisdom, okay, in your world, okay? It could be somebody else in a different place or a different time, but in our world, this particular tradition of wisdom was instituted and carried on by Tsongkhapa, okay? Tubuang Shepa, Tumba Shakya Tupas. Tubuang, which means Lord of the Able Ones, which is Muneshvara, is, by the way, Tub, those of you who care, is a translation of Muni. And in the old days, the Tibetans 1,000 years ago decided that Muni is one of the words for a Buddha. So the Tibetans decided that it meant tupa, which means capable or able to do something. Ngamo chi so tupsarabe. would you be able to bring me some dessert in the break? Then you say, two shot. I can. I will be able to. Then Wang means, in this case, Wang means the leader or the head. Okay, Tu Buang sort of means the Buddha of all Buddhas. Okay, but the original Sanskrit is Muni, and some of you may know the word that derived from that, which is Mauna. Do you know Mauna? Huh? Yeah, it's a spiritual practice of silence. Okay, so you decide for one day I won't talk, or I won't talk before 10 o'clock or something like that. You can keep Mauna. I kept it for 3 years, right? There's this yogi in outside of San Jose at Mount Madonna. What's his name? Baba Hari Das. He hasn't spoken in 50-something years, okay? He writes everything. And so Mauna can be a heavy practice for learning to be inside and not to talk so much. And so that was the original meaning of it. And there are scriptures which explain the word in that sense as applied to a Buddha. Someone who doesn't chatter and who's keeping purposely silence. And it's a nice practice. And sometimes you can try it for a weekend or something. Okay. All right. Tubong Shenpa Tumba. So when we say Tubong here, it refers to Tumba means the teacher, capital T, Shakya Tupa, which means Shakyamuni, right, which was the historical Buddha in this world. In this context, you can think of it as the person who teaches you in an explicit way, in an external way. They come with books and slide projectors and microphones, and they teach you in a group. Like, you could think of it that way, okay? People in a church speaking at the pulpit or something like that, okay? I went to church on Sunday. It was really fun. That's another story. Dorje Changshe, but so Dorje Chang means Vajradha, which means the one who keeps the diamond. Okay, Dorje means diamond, and this refers to Gyawa Dorje Chang, which is a form of the Buddha in which they give secret teachings. Okay, secret teachings. What would be an example of a secret teaching? The Buddha might emanate as a dog. And when all the people in the center seem like they need somebody to talk to, the dog follows them home. Okay? And then the dog kind of changes the atmosphere of the center and makes it a little more homey and friendly. And we had a dog. We had four brothers and no sisters. You're right on time. Of course. And we had a dog. His name was George. He was a basset hound. And, of course, we had a lot of problems with four brothers. You know, like we would fight a lot. But if you were sad, you could just go hold George. And he would listen to you for hours. And he changed the whole family. I don't think we could have survived without George. And he was there our whole childhood. Until we went to college, he survived, you know. But in the secret teachings, you could say that George was a Buddha who decided to come and defuse our family problems like that. So secret teachings, the keeper of the diamond means someone who comes and gives teachings in a very unexpected way, okay? Like that, all right? So those are the four elements of this person whom you are visualizing, okay? These four beings, meaning your own personal teacher, meaning the person who's opened your heart the most in your life. And then secondly, the founder of whatever tradition you're following. And then thirdly, people who give you formal spiritual instruction. And then fourthly, strange people who show up in your life and birds and dogs and the sound of the wind and the sound of the waves at the ocean, who teach you secretly. They speak to your own heart secretly, okay? These are the four aspects of the being whom you are visualizing right now. And they are ngo, shi, ngo, yer, me, means these four are indivisible. They are all combined in one being, okay? Chepade, dir tsokshin gitsor samdapayin. And that's who you're supposed to visualize when you want to make heavy good karma. Okay. Visualize a person who is your own teacher combined with the teacher of your tradition, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, Tsongkhapa. Then they should be the person who has taught you formally, maybe a pastor or a rabbi or your lama. Okay, and then all the people who have taught you secretly, George. Okay, and other people who showed up in your life. Okay, got it? This person is all four, combined into one. And that's who you're supposed to be visualizing. Dindar gyuta depa shichi tu depa sam gopa yinam shena. You may ask whether, okay, so am I supposed to be imagining that these four people have mixed into a single being? Someone poses a question to the author of our text, and he answers, Dinda tene mayin. Dinda tene mayin. Mayin means it's not. Tene means at all. Okay? No, that's totally wrong. Okay? You know the word ten if you know the three principal paths, the first text in the 36 courses of the ACI program. The first text, the last line says, Tengi duma nyurdu dushi bu. Anybody want to take a shot? Tengi duma nyurdu dushi bu. It's the last line of the three principal paths. That's a secret teaching. I'm not kidding, okay? You gotta think like that. Like, Tengi duma means you're the ultimate hopes of a human being. Nyurdu means quickly. Dupshik bu means achieve it, my child. Go after it. Go after your wildest dreams. It's the wildest and wildest dreams, okay? It means the ultimate, okay? Who's the child in this case? Nawan Takpa. Who's that? The friar from Tsako. Which is, he was a student of Tsongkhapa who, Tsongkhapa sent him to Glendale. And he never got to see Tsongkhapa much. Tsongkhapa went toward the world, and Nawan Takpa got stuck in Glendale. And then he just got occasional letters from Tsongkhapa, emails, I guess. And the Three Principal Paths was one such email, 14 verses. It ends with, Tengi duma nyurdu dupshi bu. Achieve your ultimate dreams, my son, okay, my child. So ten means ultimate. When he says tene min mayin, what's he meaning? Nothing could be farther from the truth, okay? It means completely not. Utterly not, okay? What? That we are mixing four people together. He says, completely wrong answer, okay? Nothing could be farther from the truth. Gyuta depa shi ranki chik tu cheka kala nu. Kala is a colloquial expression that means how on earth. Okay? Kala nu means possible or how could you ever mix four different mental continua together? Come on. It's not possible. You know, you're going to mix Tad and Darcy and come out with Parsi. You know, I mean, like, it's not possible. In Buddhism, it's not possible. Each person collects their own karma. And so person means the flow of karma. And they can never be intertwined. It's not possible, okay? We each make our own bed and we sleep in it. And you can't mix those beds, okay? So kala nu means how could you mix four people together? It's not possible. Dena tambo nengo chik yin yimbala. Dena, therefore, dambo ne means what? What's dambo? First. Dambo ne means from the beginning, from the outset. Ngo chik yin yin. They are. Yin yin. They are one being from the beginning. They were never separate. They were never separate. You're not engaging in an exercise where you pretend that four people are one. They have never been four people. The perception that they were four people was always mistaken. Yin yin. They are. Okay, they really are. Okay. Yin da yin. Say yin da yin. Are you going to get some free hamburgers tonight? Yin da yin. Yeah, you bet. So if you want to know a nice colloquial Tibetan phrase, yin da yin means yeah, for sure. Yin da yin. Rangi gyu ta de tu sungwa de de lung dang ripa rangi lung o chi tu pinge she den ba yin. So you should use lung and ripa to prove to your own mind that they have always been the same person. Okay, what's lung and rik? Yeah, you should use scriptural authority, quote the Bible, and you should use ripa, which means just it makes sense that they should have always been the same person. Okay, the person who showed up in your life and when you were a kid at the church, I was deeply affected by two or three of the priests at my church. They were not, what do you call it, naughty priests. They were amazing. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear problems with priests, but the priests at my church were awesome. And they were unbelievable. And so was my first teacher, right? And so have all the secret teachers in my life been, you see? And I met them at different times, and they seem to have inhabited different bodies. But if I think about it logically, they were probably the same person in different forms, okay? So we're not undertaking an exercise to pretend that four different people are one person. They always were, and you didn't recognize it. But if you think about it carefully, logically, and if you study the scriptures, you can conclude that they were always the same person, okay? They just came in different parts of your life, okay? Longor Chikta Drupa means to your own mind. Ngor is a difficult word in Tibetan. N-G-O-R. Ngor means the face or surface of your mind. Lo ngor. Ngor is a locative meaning to the surface of your mind. You should prove that they were always one. So to yourself, you should prove that they were always one being. Drupa. Ngeshe means a conclusion. You should come to the conclusion that they were always one. Okay. Gyutade Tusuma means those people that you always thought were separate. You should now come to a conclusion, logically and in your heart, that they must have been the same person all along. Okay, and that's kind of sweet, and you sense that that's the case. Right? All the cool people who've affected you in your life, who really guided you through your life, they were the same person taking different forms. Okay? Sometimes as a dog. George. Okay, more suggestion. Deshi, I'm going to move this. Yeah, okay. Okay. Deshi, but what? Somebody watching the time? I don't know. Do you care if I run over? No. Neither do I. Okay. All right. We'll keep going for a while. But I will give you a break, okay? Pee pee break and rehydration break, okay? Ngarmo break. Ngarmo. Ngarmo means sweet. It's a Tibetan word for dessert. Deshi ngo chikyin te. So now he's giving a logical argument, right? Deshi ngo chikyin te, right? In Tibetan monastery, there we go. You know, these four are one. These four are one person. Why? Rang cha ki dorji chang shepa kundo ngumbo dorjo sungwa nungu chach. So, rang chak means us guys, okay? Us normal schmucks. When somebody says Vajradhara, the Buddha in his tantric form, okay? Dorje chang. When somebody says dorje chang to us, she means they say, Kundog means the color. Guard dog. Kundog means the color of their body, okay? Dog means color, okay? Ku means holy body. The color of their holy body is Ngumbo. They are blue, okay? They are blue. We always say, okay, don't think they are painted blue. Don't think someone came with blue paint and painted them blue. And if they could just get it off, they'd be whatever again, okay? They are shining like a sapphire, like a neon light from the inside. They are made of blue light. They are not painted blue, okay? Anyway, somebody says Vajradhara, then into our mind pops a blue guy. Dorje Suma, holding a Dorje and a Dubu. A bell and a Vajra, okay? Longku means the form that the Buddha takes in their own paradise, which is sexy, silk, long hair, jewels everywhere, you know, like moving like a dancer, like very, very sensual and beautiful, okay? Longku Chache means all got up like a paradise Buddha, okay? Chik Dang. We in our mind, we see a being like that, someone who knows what Vajradhara is supposed to look like, sees as something that looks like it came out of GQ or Vogue, but 1,000 times better, okay? Like that, okay? Like somebody really, wow, okay? Sensual and beautiful and, okay? Then when you say Shakyatuba, you say Shakyamuni, okay? Well, you think of Urek. What's U mean? What's Uma mean?
Middle
way. But in honorific Tibetan, in high Tibetan, noble, for noblemen or for lamas, U is the honorific for Ngo, head. Okay, so U is the honorific for head. Urek. Yeah, Urek means shaved. Rek means to touch, right? But here it means shaved, meaning you could touch their skull and you wouldn't hit any hair. Okay, so shaven head, Shab Jin. Well, Shab means, it's the honorific for Kangba. Yeah, feet. An attendant in Tibet is called a Shabchi. I was Rinpoche's Shabchi for 25 years, okay? And the people kept calling me Shabchi. And I'm like, what's that mean exactly? Well, Shab is Rinpoche's foot. I said, well, what's chi mean? It says wipe. You wipe his feet, you know? I'm like, okay, I'll be a shabchi, you know? That's the name for an attendant in Tibetan, okay? So shab means foot. Jen means naked, okay? Jemba, like if you eat uncooked something that you would normally cook, that like broccoli? If you decide to eat the broccoli uncooked, it's called jemba. Means naked or uncooked, okay, raw. So Shab Jen means?
Barefoot.
Yeah, here's this guy, he's just barefoot. His feet are always sticking out from under his robes when he's on his lotus feet, you know. So here's this baldy with bare feet. So that's the image he's being funny. This is the image you have when you think of Gautama Buddha, the original Buddha, right? In our country, he's got a big belly and he's got a bump on his head and long ears. And, okay, so then Chukku Nambachen. This is another form that the Buddha takes, which is we call emanation. This is the form that they took when they sent a body from their paradise body to teach in India. They sent somebody who looked like an Indian. Okay, so people could relate to them. Right. That's called Chukku. You know Tolku, right? Tolku. That's Chukku. Chukku means the body that you emanate to relate to normal people. The form that you take to relate to normal people. Chukku number Chendu Sung. Sungne. He took on that form. Deni Pensen Tene Mardepa Tabu Samyang. And in our mind, the two could never meet. What two? The GQ one and the baldy one, right? Like you couldn't imagine His Holiness wearing a Gucci. What's the suit that I was accused of wearing? Armani, yeah, which I've never seen one, but the Armani. You like trying to imagine His Holiness in an Armani suit? You would say that's ridiculous, you know. I mean, he's or with some cool sunglasses. and some cool Italian business shoes or something. You know, like you'd say, yeah, but that doesn't mix. Either you're the Dalai Lama or you're, or you look like a mafia guy from Ukraine. You know, like they don't mix. Madeba means you couldn't mix those two. He says, Deda Mimba. What? You're wrong, okay? You're wrong. If you can't imagine His Holiness with, what's that guy who's gray-haired, cool actor? Not that one. I said cool. Clooney. Yeah, George Clooney. So could you imagine His Holiness being George Clooney? You see what I mean? And we say, no, I mean, His Holiness is shaved head, and he's got these robes on, and Clooney's always in it like a hip suit, and he's just kind of cool, in my mind. But you couldn't imagine them mixing. And then our author says, you're wrong. Sangye ki dulwa dong dode sungban. The Tibetan has a mistake here, okay? It says sungpen or something like that. P-A-N. That's a mistake. It should have been P-A space N-A, okay? Sungpanna means when the Buddha comes to teach dulwa, the vowed morality, okay? You could say the Ten Commandments, or dode, the open sutras, heart sutra, diamond color sutra, okay? When the Buddha comes to teach those things, Chokichuku number 10, he appears in the classic Buddha form, okay? Like a monk and shaved head and bare feet, a yogi, okay? Then Ngaki Gyu Sumbana, what's Nga? Tantra, when he teaches the secret teachings, Sungpana, there's the correct spelling, Sungpana, Dorje Changi number 10, then he appears as George Clooney, okay? But in this case, flowing hair, silk robes, jewels, you know, like a dancer, appears like a dancer, you know. So when he teaches certain teachings, he appears as a monk. When he teaches other teachings, he appears as George Clooney. Okay, got it? Or somebody very sensual and fashionable and like a graceful and sensual, okay, like that. Daishindu, when he teaches Sangdu, the tantra called Sangdu, what's Sangdu? Guhya Samaja. Guhya Samaja, okay? Which is one kind of tantra, okay? The secret collection. When he teaches that, he appears as a Dorje Chang, George Clooney, but with Shelsum. Gosum. Three heads. Chakchuk. Chuk. Six hands. Okay? Queen number 10. Then he, okay, so when he has to teach that particular tantra, he's got three heads and six arms. No problem. Dechoki Gyu Sumbana, when he teaches Dechok, Chaka Sambara, then he looks like Heruka. Okay? What's Heruka look like? Shell Shi. Four heads. And Chak Chunyi. 12 arms. Okay? Chunyi ki number 10 baso. Dogi Rang Rang Dan Tumbe Kui Namba Mindawa Thayepa. He can appear in infinite forms, depending on what he's supposed to be teaching, and the angel who's supposed to be connected to that teaching. Okay, so if that angel's supposed to have four hands, and he says, okay, I'll grow two more arms, you know, or I gotta grow 10 more arms, or I need an extra head, you know. Okay, so even when he appears as George Clooney, he could have three heads. No problem. Okay, even more handsome. Okay. Ten kyang means, the kyang means, what's kyang? But he's still, dundu means in reality, he's still Shakyatupa. He's still Shakyamuni. He's still Gautama Buddha. He's still that guy with the shaved head and the bare feet. Okay? Don't think he's anybody else. Don't think they're two separate guys. George Clooney is the Dalai Lama. No, you laugh, but that means you, you didn't really think, you got to internalize this point. He is the Dalai Lama. It's not like they are similar or you're trying to mix them. They've always been the same person. Rang Yimbe Doje Chang Da Shakya Tupa She Ngo Chik Ni Le Gyuta De Mepa. Those of you who spend time with me, you know Zay Chik Dopa Tade. The same junk in the same package. That's how Rinpoche described 7-Eleven and Circle K. My teacher, this old Tibetan guy, he walks into Circle K and says, Zechik Dobutade. And I said, what's that mean? He says, the same crap in different packages. It's all salt, sugar, flour, white flour, everything in the store, everything. It's just in different shapes. It's a joke in Tibetan. Anyway, here we have the same idea. Ngo Chik, they are the same thing. Chik Ni. Ni means only, just. They are just one thing. Gyuta De Mepa. They appear like different people, but they're not. They're the same person. Okay, George Clooney and the Dalai Lama are the same person. In different packages. Same stuff in different packages. Okay. Whew. Okay. This could get interesting, right? Okay, here we go. Shakyatupa Rangi Kunguki Duja Dzogne. Okay, so Gautama Buddha, Shakyamuni, Rangi, his own ku, his own standard body, Muki Dulja Dzogne, there were no more disciples who could sustain that vision of that body. It wasn't that he died. There were no longer any disciples around who could perceive him. Okay? The disciples were no longer fit. So he dzog, and he nyangen le de. Yeah, this one means he disappeared from this world. Okay, he reached his quote nirvana, meaning he disappeared from this world. Sin ne gyang, sin ne means even after that. Okay, sin means past tense, past participle, lizer, sin, past tense of zin. It's weird. Okay, sin. Sin means it means held, but as a verbalizer, it means ed at the end of a verb. He passed the. Okay, then kyang, but pak yuldu in the land of the in realized beings, the Aryas, India, which is another word for India. He appeared in the form of many ben and dup. What's ben mean here? What's the ban in Panchen Lama mean? Pandita. It means pandita. So he appeared as many pandits. Are you guys warming up? Okay. He appeared as many pandits. Wise men. Wise women. By the way, tomorrow we have a sutra called The Wise Woman, right? Is it tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah, so Mercedes, she's been translating a very rare sutra called The Sutra of the Wise Woman. And it's a conversation between Lord Buddha and a woman who's like very special, and she's finished it actually. It still has to be edited, but she'll be teaching selections from it tomorrow. Anyway, he appeared as men and women saints, and drup means drup chok means siddhas, okay, yogis, high yogis. Mangba kurten, he appeared in the form of many people, and he chusung. He spoke the Dharma, okay? What's the Kangyur? Yeah, these are books that we still have that were teachings given by the Buddha himself or by other Buddhas, okay? What's the Tengyur? These are the ancient Indian commentaries on those. There are 4,500 total that we survived from ancient India. The distinction between the Kangyur and the Tengyur is that the Kangyur is spoken by an enlightened being, and the Tengyur is spoken by someone who is not enlightened. Right? So after Lord Buddha had already passed away, he appeared as many saints in India who wrote the Tengyur. Okay. So, Purdue. What's Pur? Yeah. The BOD came into Italian as BET when the first Italian priest got to Tibet, and they called it Tibud. And then it became Tibet. Okay. There's no word in Tibet like Tibet. Okay. It's Pud. It's Tibet in Tibet is Pud, which means to call. And the Tibetans say that their country was called to call because you could stand in the Holy Land, and if your voice was loud enough, if you were standing on the border, you could yell into our country. Okay, which is from India. A stone's throw. It means a stone's throw. They called their country a stone's throw from the Holy Land. Okay. Pudu Temba, the teaching. This is an important word for those of you who are learning Tibetan. Say ngadar. Ngadar. Dar means to spread. Like Temba Dargi or something. Ngadar means, nga means early. Dar means transmission or spreading. So this is the earlier part of Buddhism in Tibet. So Buddhism in Tibet is divided into Ngadar and Chidar. The earlier spread of Buddhism in Tibet and the later spread of Buddhism in Tibet. And the Ngadar got corrupted at some point. People started to misbehave. And then Chidar happened. Then Jetsu Kapa came along and re-cleaned up everything. So that was called the Chidar. Okay? But in the Ngadar, here in Tibet, Ken Lob Soki Kur Tene, Lord Buddha also emanated as teachers and disciples of those teachers during the earlier spread of Buddhism in Tibet. Okay? Kur Tene, Chösung, and Chösung, Nyek Chösung, taught the Dharma. Okay. Chidar La, in the later spread, he appeared as Jowo Chembo, Lord Atisha, around 1000 AD, 998 or something like that, okay? And as Jetsu Kapa, etc., okay? So he appeared in both the earlier spread of Buddhism in Tibet and in the later spread of Buddhism in Tibet. Kedrup means wise women and men, and Dup means siddhas, high yogis. Duma, as many, Kur, he appeared in their bodies. Tene, and he chosun. He spoke the Dharma, okay? So they keep repeating, he spoke the Dharma in these different forms. Yinbe, therefore, Jetsun Losan Drapa Nyi Kyang, we can say that Jetsun Kapa himself, Lo, in his essence, is Shakyatuba. Shakyamuni, Gautama Buddha, Rang, himself. Okay, got it? Therefore, Jetsu Kapa has always been the Buddha. Okay. All right, here we go. How are we doing? Give me 10 more minutes. I'll give you a pee-pee break, okay? All right. Sangye ki maongba nyingmanga dowe du du tubwang dorje chang. Is that it? No. How's that go? Sangye ki maongba nyingmanga dowe du. Then what's next after two? Tubwan Dorje Chang. Okay, good. Rangni Lame number 10, Jumbar Sungbe. The Buddha himself said, when he was still on this planet, in the future, when things get bad, I will come back as your teacher. Okay? As Vajradhara Kama, your teacher. All right, he said that. Okay. Even after I pass away from this world, when things get bad, I'll be there as your teacher. Okay. The Tibetan for when things get bad in this world is Nyingma Nga. Say Nyingma Nga. I like it. Nyingma. It keeps people awake during the teaching. Nyingma Nga. Nga means what? Yeah, five. Nyingma means dregs, like in the bottom of a cup of tea when all the junk goes down to the bottom. Nyingma means junk at the bottom, although I don't want to translate it that way. And there are five. It means in the days of darkness. The Tibetan word for days of darkness is when the five things get bad. So I went and looked it up for you, of course. Here they are. These are the Nyingmanga, the five things that went bad. Okay. We are in the Nyingmanga now, okay? We are in the bad days right now. Two Nyingma, the times are bad. Okay, two, times are bad. Meaning, Tsunden. Tsunden means these are the times of strife in the world. Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, Africa. These are, people are still having wars in this world. So the first one is here. Number two, Senyingma, Mardukitso no Gyapa. It is said in the Buddhist scriptures that life spans begin with tens of thousands of years. In the Garden of Eden, and there is a Buddhist equivalent in the third chapter of the Abhidhamma Kosha, people lived for tens of thousands of years. And then slowly, because of people's bad behavior, it drops to roughly 100 years, meaning we are there now. People's average lifespan is 50, 60, 70 years. So we are at the bottom of lifespans in history. Okay, that's number two, lifespans. Number three, Tawa Nyingma Chinji Lo Gyurkawa. Tawa means people have wrong viewpoints, are spread throughout the world. What's an example? We've been mentioning an example of where you're having trouble with your spouse or your partner. Perhaps they are criticizing you, right? So in an enlightened world, the way you would deal with a spouse who was critical, criticizing you, would be that you would investigate your own behavior and stop criticizing someone else in your life. Like maybe you're criticizing your kids or people you work with, in a small way, which always expands. Karma expands wildly. So you slightly judge someone at work, or you slightly judge other people constantly, and then suddenly a newspaper article come out about you. You see what I mean? And the cause of that is that you have slightly judged people all day long, and then karma expands. You were slightly critical to someone at work, and then you come home and your husband's criticizing you for hours. Okay, so that viewpoint is correct. That viewpoint works. If you stop criticizing other people or stop judging other people, people won't judge you or criticize you. That's a correct viewpoint. But we're in the time in history where no one understands that. Okay. They will fight the person who criticizes them. How do you make money according to a Buddhist worldview? You give away money. And that's like the farthest thing from a corporate person's mind, you know. Let's give away more cars so our stock will go up. They just would never think of that. So these are days in the world when people are, the way people think is wrong, and they won't get what they want because they're thinking backwards. I have to compete with other people, or I have to fight with my husband who's critical to me. Okay, like that. That was number three. Okay, number four. Nyomong Nyingma. Nyomong Nyingma means negative emotions run rampant in current times. Okay, people are more likely to be impatient, nervous, stressed out, have anxiety, overdo it with their iPhones. And, you know, people are more likely to go on the internet and watch sex, or they're more likely to argue with other people, or these are not good times as far as people's mental level is low, okay? In Tibetan, that's described as Ngar Chak La Yun Ringwa. Okay, it's not in the text. Ngar Chak La Yun Ringwa. Yun Ringwa means when people get upset in modern times, they hold it. Who's that nun in Washington State? What's her name? Thupten Children. I heard her give a nice talk in Tucson like 100 years ago. And she was laughing and she was describing how She had trouble memorizing Tibetan and stuff like that, but she could still recite word for word what her former husband had said to her 34 years ago when they had their last fight. She could still recite it word for word, you know? And so we hold, I don't exactly remember the, if it was a former husband or what it was, but anyway, she was like, we hold on to the injuries done to us by others, right? In modern times, we have a long memory. Yun Ringwa means a long memory. What's ngar? Because here they use the word ngar. It's the first time I've ever seen it, not in a practice of meditation. Yeah, ngar means, what do you call it when you do something to the steel of a knife? Temper. Temper it? You like put it in the fire twice or something? Yeah, that's called ngar. And it's a word which describes a state of meditation. Like when you jack up your meditation, which is called in Tibetan Bokchimba. That's why I use that word for those courses. You reach ngar, which means, I don't know, extra bite in your meditation. Super sharp in your meditation. I've never seen it before used in another context. Here it is. Ngar Dak means, in modern times, people's negative emotions are ngar. They have ngar. They are sharper. And they are stronger. Yeah. So like more intense, right? Okay, so that's number four. Number five. Then maybe we'll take a break. We got to see who's ahead. Huh? The last time I did this was in 1970, Phil. 1970, I campaigned for McGovern for like a year. And then we're all sitting in front of the TV like, how close will it be? He lost every single state. He won one state and we were ecstatic. We were throwing confetti and it was like 49 states to one. And I think the state that he came from, you know, they were just trying to give him one state. Anyway, that was the last time I did this. Semchen means people's nature is dulka. They are difficult to tame. Rinpoche used to say tame. It's difficult to help people in modern times. Okay, most people are difficult. You know, you can't go into a wine bar and have a conversation with someone about why they shouldn't be mad at their husband or how they could make more money if they gave way more money. People are not into it. Yeah, okay? Yeah, they're just not into that kind of stuff, you know? They just wouldn't relate to it. So that's a people. Those are the five signs that we are in the days of darkness, okay? Then there are lamas who say, and then we'll stop, there are lamas who say, F that. You know, you've never seen better times. You are extremely lucky. These are not the days of dark, these are the days of hope. You know, like we're in really good times, you know. There hasn't been a major religious war. You know, like we're able to have this teaching here without worried about the police coming and hitting everybody with sticks and saying, why are you not doing the government religion? Or, you know, like we can communicate with any other person on the planet for free within a few seconds. We can express our opinions globally, you know, and we eat every day, you know. I mean, there's never been times like this in the history of mankind. There's never been such wonderful times and for the Dharma, you know. We can practice as we wish. We have food. We are well educated. We have our parents cared enough to create schools and send us to those schools. And there's basic freedoms here. They just can't just come. In the old days, what was a king? A king came to your door and knocked on it and said, give me your wife. You know? And you had to give her. And these are not, we are living in the best of times. We are very lucky, you know? So the big lamas say, ah, forget the five. That's not true. We're in good days. We're having good days right now. For us, it's perfect. Okay. If we fail, it's only because of us, right? Just sometimes a little suppression is really good, but we don't have any. Okay. We'll have a break. We'll come back and when I say 15 minutes, and have some dessert. If you didn't have dinner, I'm sure there's some leftovers around. And I appreciate the dinner. It was really good. So, all right. Have a nice break. See you in 15 minutes. Okay, we'll start again. We'll just go for another half hour. Tubuang Dorje Changrani Lame number 10 Jumbar Sumbe. So Lord Buddha said, when times get hard, I will appear on earth again as your own personal teacher. Okay. Tengdu rangi dunzepe tubon doje chanki trupa de kangin yamna. Tengdu means nowadays. Rangi dunzepe tubon doje chank. If you are looking for that Buddha / George Clooney, okay? Dalai Lama / George Clooney, tubon doje chank. In your own life, if you're kangin yamna, if you're wondering who it is, Lama Le Lokso Minye is none other than your personal teacher. Okay, whoever's your personal teacher, which could be your partner, could be your mother, could be your school teacher, could be your anybody, your daughter. Don't go looking for any other emanation of. If you want an emanation of Lord Buddha in your life, that's it. Okay, okay. Then he quotes Then he gets into a very sexy subject, which I've been waiting for, okay? Namka dan nyambi gyule. Gyu means a tantra, secret teaching. Namka dan nyampa means...
Don't wear the dwang.
It's called the tantra equal to the extent of this of space. Namka dan nyambi gyu. The tantra which is as wide as space itself, okay? And it has a very famous quotation. And you can listen to the poetry. Okay. Drowa dikun sangi ngadanyi karken tata rimo sangtar nang kangdu dechen shecha chikpu nyi chikpu nyamni tume ganze do. So this is a famous line from a secret book, a Buddhist secret book. Okay, here's what it means. Drowa dikun means all the people around you, sangye, are the Buddha. The people sitting around you are suspicious. He's like, Sangye, not just one, but nga. Dakni means combination. Okay? So Dakni means the people around you are the combination of the five Buddhas. Who are the five Buddhas? These are the five Buddhas' families in the secret teachings. Okay, and that's secret. If you can't remember something, you can always say that's secret. Okay. Kar here means kar means to dance, okay, or to act in a play. Garken means an actor. Garken daktang. So they are like actors in a play. Rimo sangtar nang. Rimo sang means you can take one piece of chalk and sketch 100 different forms, right? The chalk is the same. So rimo means a drawing. Sang means a good drawing. Tar means similar to that. Nang they appear, okay? But in translating this verse, a translator would have to be careful not to join tar and nang together, which means false. Just warning you, okay? Tar nang and tar nang are two different expressions. Tar nang means they are appearing like separate people, like in a play. But tar nang, rika tar nang means false logic. Or some, so it's not tar nang, it's tar nang, okay? Kangdu dechen sheja chipunyi. The thing, which the one thing which we refer to as bliss, the one thing which we refer to as bliss, Chipo Nyamni, the dance of that single thing is Tume Kanzedo, is many actors. It's one dancer in many roles. Okay. To translate that verse correctly, you have to go back to the Kongyur, to the original scriptures, and find the verse. And this one is delicately misspelled. There's a tiny spelling error here which would change the meaning. Okay. So nyam can mean to degenerate, but nyam can also mean a dance. Then if the word single was in front of it, and there was no possessive, it would mean one person has degenerated. If there were a possessive, it would mean one person's dance. Okay? And they cut the possessive. Somebody lost it over the last 25 centuries. But I went and checked it. And the original has the apostrophe S. Okay? So just so you know, that it's a big difference, right? Instead of one person degenerating, it's the dance of a single form. It's one actor dancing in many roles. Okay? It's very beautiful. Okay? So then he's going to explain it. By the way, there's no such tantra in the secret books of Buddhism. It's a section in another tantra, if you care. And it would take you a while to find that. But the larger tantra is called Nelnjorme Kundichupa. Nelnjorme Kundichupa. The dance of the yogini. Okay. The tantra is called the dance of the woman yogi. Okay. So if you go looking for some tantra called equivalent to this to space, you'll never find it. It's part of another tantra. If you care. Okay, I don't know. I'm just doing it for the future. Shepa di... Now, this is cool. Shepa, those words, luen la jarsuldam. There's a way that you can apply those words to the secret teaching called luen. Okay? Luen means transcendent body. Okay? It's a tantric practice. It's a high tantric practice. Luen... Lawen, Semwen. There's three, okay? Say Lawen. Sorry, Luwen, Lawen, Semwen. These are three stages of concentration in the secret teachings, okay? Very famous. He says, now you can relate this to that stage in the secret teachings, or Shinyin Tenzu Lajar. You can also apply this to the first of the great steps of the steps to enlightenment. What's the first and greatest step in the steps to enlightenment? Find a teacher and have a good relationship with your teacher is the first of the great subjects of all Buddhism. So he said, you can relate it to this advanced tantric stage, that line of poetry, that verse of poetry, or you can relate it to the generally how to relate to your teacher. Okay? Jartsodang. Dear... Mangdu Yopale means, or 100 other Buddhist subjects, okay? But, dear Shenyin, Tensu La Jarte Shuna, I would like to take the opportunity to apply it to how you relate to your teacher. So he drops the Luwen there. Okay? But I went and looked it up, okay? Because I was really curious. We studied Luwen briefly during the 7-year course at Diamond Mountain, but we didn't go. We spent only, I think, a day on it or something. So I thought I would talk about it in general terms, because I'm not allowed to talk about it in specific terms unless you have an initiation. Okay, so here's general terms. One of the reasons that you do yoga was an ancient tantric practice. In Tibet, you weren't allowed to do yoga until you finished a Geshe degree. 25 years of study, then you're allowed to do yoga asanas, you know, because it was considered a high secret practice. Why? It's an attempt to turn your body back into light. How? You manipulate your inner channels by twisting, stretching, all the other torturous things that we were taken through today. and tomorrow. So originally it was a practice meant to open the channels of the body, okay, and specifically the central channel, which is called Sushumna. Okay. After a vowel and before a U, an S in Sanskrit is required to change to Sha. So it used to be Sushumna, and it changed to Sushumna. Mana came into English as the MN in the word hymn, a song. Hymnal, right? Which means a song. Then su means good, but very good, su-su. Su-su-mana, a very good song. So that's the name of your central channel, all right? So the purpose of yoga was to get energy moving down the middle channel. When energy or prana moves down the middle channel, you are capable of higher love. You are capable of deeper insight. You have more compassion. You can see emptiness. You are more at peace, and you are a nicer person. So the original purpose of yoga was to try to force prana into the central channel, right? And there are many levels of how much prana gets forced into the central channel. And if you do a pretty good yoga class without any awareness of all these teachings, you will feel better for a couple of hours. And that's because prana has entered the central channel slightly, okay? If prana enters the central channel at a higher degree and a more conscious degree, we talked about it today in the meditation, it starts to affect the lesser channels which allow sense perception. So there's prana running from your eye to your heart chakra, there's prana running to your ears, there's prana running to your nose, your mouth. Migme, Navame, Name, Cheme, Lume. From what book? Heart Sutra. So there's prana flowing out to your sense organs, which allows you to perceive the world. And if that prana were to stop, you would be blind or deaf or like that, paraplegic or something, you know. When you inject high amounts of prana into the central channel through the practice of yoga and partner practice or other related physical practices, then more prana is running to your sense organs, okay? And it affects them, and you start to see the world as divine. It's very interesting. Yoga is an attempt to manipulate the physical body to cause the mind to see the world in a more magical way, which is cool. And you get a little bit of it when you take a yoga class. You're in a good mood for 3 hours, and the croissants taste better after that. It's not really the yoga that makes you hungry. So if you could do it more consciously, then you would actually start to perceive the world as inhabited by special people. So, you know, like when you're in extremely good mood, you just had a bag of French fries or something. When you're in a really, really good mood, your perception of the world changes. When you're in a bad mood, you think everyone's mean or something like that. So if you could move the prana in your body consciously, then your perception of the world would change, and you would start to see it as a little piece of heaven. And that's a luwen, okay? That's a luwen. That's the practice he mentioned. Special bodies appearing around you, luwen, okay? What's that got to do with what he was talking about just now, all night? Yeah. The four beings are not separate, okay? Your teacher is Lord Buddha. George Clooney is the Dalai Lama. If you did yoga enough, you would see it. Got it? Okay? If you did enough yoga, you could see George Clooney for who he really is. Or the Dalai Lama would look, it would be comfortable to see him in an Armani suit with sunglasses. And it would look just fine if your vision was sufficient. And a way to do that in Tantra is to get probably not supposed to talk about it, is to get prana to move in the right places, okay? you can precipitate the vision of the world as divine if you do yoga properly or other physical practices. You can also do it through meditation. And then there's a joke in Tibetan, they say, so should you do the physical practice or should you do the meditation practice? Which are better? And then the answer is chinan tabla tsorbet. Say chinan tabla tsorbet. You should do both, come on. You should meditate and you should do meditation. Sorry, yoga, right? So like, what did we do this morning? Yeah. First we did meditation, then we did yoga. I mean, or it could be Tai Chi, or it could be running, or something physical that moves your energy in your body. And that's a great combination, okay? That combination allows you to see the world as more magical. And if you keep it up over years, regularly, you will start to see the world as more magical. And it will be. It's not that you're like hallucinating or something. The world becomes more magical. Got it? And then the Buddha will start to play different roles in your life until everyone around you is a Buddha in disguise. Your family, your friends, your enemies, the politicians elected in your country will be Buddhas, real Buddhas in disguise, okay? And you will reach that place where you're just living in a whole country of Buddhas, okay? Okay, that's cool, right? That's how it relates to Luwen. The Panchen Lama, the first Panchen Lama, wrote a book about how this happens. I think we'll leave it for tonight. Maybe we'll go back to it sometime. I cut it out for you. But that's a long story. Huh? All right, okay. I'll do a piece of it, okay? I don't want to overwhelm you. What I already said was enough. But just for those of you who are insatiable, he quotes that same verse from Tantra about one actor playing many parts. He quotes the same book. And then he explains how it relates to Luwen. He has an essay on how it relates to Luwen. So if you really wanted to go into it deeply, you would throw that into your teaching and you would cover that for about an hour or something. Because it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. So we don't have time. We'll do a piece of it. We'll do some of it, okay? Because it's also Tantra. It's not totally appropriate to talk about all the details. But I'll say this, okay? There are two great levels of tantric practice. They are called Kirim and Dzogrim. I once had my first Lama, Tibetan Lama, was named Geshe Ngon Dagi. He was from East Tibet, okay? Then I studied with him for a couple of years in India, and I didn't know Tibetan yet, and I was learning Tibetan. And then I got good at Tibetan. And then I was living in New York, and somebody said, Geshe Ngon Dagi is coming to teach in New York. And they said, can you translate? And I'm like, I'll show off for Geshe-la, you know? He'll be amazed, you know? And so he came, and I got ready, and the first thing he said was, I am going to teach about Chiridzuri. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I said Chiridzuri. He got angry at me. He's like, I said Chiridzuri. I'm like, Geshe-la, I don't know Chiridzuri. Then there was a person from Central Tibet. He said, Kirim and Dzogrim. And I'm like, Chiridzuri? And the whole night was like that. And then he yelled at me the whole night. And I think it was my pride created all that. Anyway. So, Kirim and Dzogrim, Chiri and Dziri, are, because he taught like that, and I didn't know what he taught, because he's from East Tibet. So anyway, Kirim is an attempt to make contact with divine beings in your midst. Okay? Kirim is an attempt to make contact with divine beings in your midst. Dzogrim is when they teach you the practices necessary to become like them. that basically that's the two levels of tantric practice, okay, Gyurim and Dzogchen. So the first Panchen Lama, in discussing this verse and how it relates to Luwen, has a discussion of, is this practice Gyurim or Dzogchen? Okay. When the prana starts to move in your body in the right way and it changes your sense organs so drastically, so radically, that you begin to see the world as divine, what's going on? Is it Gyurim or is it Dzogchen? Is it Jiri or is it Dziri? Okay, so here's his answer, okay? Rang Luk means my opinion, okay? Luwen, this practice of Luwen, where many actors are playing in your world, many divine beings are pretending to be your girlfriend or your teacher or your dog. Ke tsok nike cha yo nika. Both. Okay? If you're gonna learn numbers in Tibet, ni, two, ni pa, second, ni po, the two, nika, both. Okay? Nika. There's both Kirim and Dzogchen in Luwen, okay? In this process of the prana of the sense organs shifting so radically that you see the world as heaven. Okay. Cha yute. Number, then he says there are four possibilities here. Okay. You ready? This is not in the text. Okay. Don't look up there. It's hopeless. Doni dokpa mayembe loe sungnam hlashawe luendang. When you have a state of mind which is not a state of mind in which you are perceiving emptiness, okay? When you have a state of mind which is not a state of mind in which you are perceiving emptiness, but the object at which you're looking, which would be the person sitting next to you, okay? Shar, shar. Shar, as a sha, shar means to appear. As a what? As an angel. They look like an angel to you. Tlarshar means they strike you as being an angel. Okay, tlarshar. But that state of mind is not perceiving emptiness at that time. It's not a emptiness perceiving state of mind. Possibility number one. That's a kind of luwen. Okay? That's a kind of luwen. Okay. Number two. Shu de toni topa mayembe toni tope loe sungnam tlarshawe luwen. The way in which an angel is appearing to a state of mind which is familiar with the idea of emptiness, but whose familiarity with the idea of emptiness is not coming from shude. Say shude. Chiwo ne dimba lepa na gawa, dimba ne nimba lepa na choka, ninga ne tewa lepa na kega, tewa ne nobete lepa na thangi ki yeshi kebe dewa don tome niye mebe tinge zena nyumba shiso. Meaning, the meltdown of prana in the central channel due to inner fire, okay? So, or good yoga, okay? So movement of prana down the central channel through yogic practices, okay? A state of mind which is very familiar with emptiness, but that familiarity has not been triggered by the movement of prana in the body. There's that, the second possibility. And it's starting to see people as angels. But not because they did yoga. Like they did something else. Like they ate really good brownies or something. Okay? Alright, that's the second possibility. Okay? What was the first one?
Somebody who's not in the
direction. Yeah, the state of mind or any awareness of emptiness. Okay? They're just regular person. It happens, right? I remember the night my mother died. They told me your mother died. I was sitting in a room, and the wind hit the tree outside, and I swore it was my mother singing, you know? The sound of the tree moving. And that's a luwen. That's an experience of luwen, triggered by intense grief. You see, so other things can trigger these moments in your life where someone strikes you as a special being, you know, for an hour or for 10 minutes or on a subway for 1 minute, or, you know, there are heavy events in your life that don't relate to yoga or other practices, right? It just happens because of something special in your life, okay? And number three, Lung umma shugne tim sum chepa le chunga mayimba shude tsam ki toni tope sungnam. You start to see other people as being potential angels because of the meltdown of prana, but not a complete meltdown. Okay, it's an awareness of emptiness, but it's not a complete meltdown, which we call shugne tim. Okay? Prana has entered, stayed, and melted within the central channel. It's not a complete meltdown, it's a partial meltdown. You can have a partial meltdown of prana in an orgasm, in a sexual orgasm. Is it a spiritual method? Not very stable and not very preferable. It only lasts for a minute or 2 minutes, and then after that you're like, your central channel closes up for a week. Okay, so it's not a... But if you want to know what it might feel like, it's that. And then, so you have some opening of the channel, but, and you have some glimpse of another person as special, but it's not sustainable. Okay? It's just a temporary thing. Okay? The first time I met the Dalai Lama personally, I was with my mom who was dying of cancer. So we sat down with him. She's got like a couple weeks to live. And my Lama got me in to see him because he thought if she died, it would be good that she met the Dalai Lama in this world. So we're sitting there. We sit down. I try to make a prostration. He objects. He pushes me up on the couch. And then he looks at me and he says, "So, have you ever taken drugs?" And I'm sitting there with my mom, you know. And so do I lie to the Dalai Lama or... or do I upset my mom? You know, like I was, you know, and so I said, "Yeah, I have." And she's like, you know, and then he said, "What's it like?" You know, he was really curious. And I haven't taken heavy drugs, but I did, you know, I did like mescaline twice. Maybe once, not far from here. But he was very curious about it. So you can trigger things with other, you can have short special experiences that are brought on by other means, but they are not sustainable. And that was his big deal. He spent half an hour explaining to me how I could make it sustainable if I learned to meditate. And then he's also, and then he concluded by saying it was cheaper. So, and I think frankly that in the long run, the use of marijuana or drugs, it begins to impede the movement of prana. At the beginning it seems like it's helping, but in the end it slows it down somehow. It's not a good thing. It in the end it hurts you. Anyway, he told me that, and that was many, many years ago. That was 37 years ago or something, okay? Anyway, and I didn't use anything after that. Tony tope sunam parsing. So you have a slight opening, but not triggered by total opening, okay? What do you guess number four is? Yeah, total opening. Total meltdown, total opening, total movement of prana. And you see, and you start to see people around you as, you are into an emptiness perception or an appreciation of emptiness, and you start to see people around you as deities. Why would seeing people around you as deities be connected to seeing emptiness? Yeah, the way you see anyone, anytime, is coming from you. They are like a white projector screen. They are not deities and they are not deities. At the same time, every person you ever met was both a deity and not a deity, depending on your sense. So the emptiness means they could have been either one. It just depends on you. If you are kind to other people and serve other people in a very rough section of Phoenix, you will plant seeds to see those blank people as divine. And if you choose to sit in Scottsdale and be comfortable You might not. Okay? And both will be real. Okay? They will really be not special, and they will really be special, depending on you, because they're empty. Okay? Now, what do you think he concludes about these four as to his original question of whether Luwen, which means seeing people as deities because you have prana moving through your sense channels, is that a Kirin practice or a Dzogchen practice? Which one of these, he says both, but he concludes that some of these four are Kirin and some of these four are Dzogchen. Which are which? Yeah, the first three are Kirin and the fourth one is Dzogchen. Because the fourth one is taking place because of what you learned from those angels, which was how to really move prana through your body. Okay, cool? So I'm not going to say more about it, because really it's a secret subject. But it seems very auspicious for Glendale, for the first night at Glendale, on Shabbat, on this holiday. And with our new president, God bless him, whoever he may be. All right. I will go for another. We'll go for about 5 or 10 more minutes, okay? Because it's very beautiful what comes next. Berna, cham bun chik. Berna means, for example, cham. There's a word cham. It's a nice word to know. You know? That's cham cham. Yeah. Nowadays in the monastery, cham cham means to take a little stroll around the monastery. Older monks do it as exercise, and they gossip the whole way. They're supposed to be reciting prayers, but they gossip about other monks. Cham means, do you know cham? Sacred dance, monk dance, sacred dance, okay? Cham. Champun means lopun, the master, dancing master. Champun means the guy who teaches you dance. We learned cham. I think Lama Ora was there in Mongolia. We studied with the last champion of Mongolia. He was in a wheelchair. He was like 80-something. He died shortly after that, but we learned some cham from him. Anyway, champion, champion chick, one champion, a single dance master. Shana means the black hat worn by some characters in Tibetan historical place. Okay, they have black hats. Che mean here means costume. He wears the costume of the black-hatted wizard. Okay, in the play, the play is called Namtar, which means religious operas, and they are just as screechy as Western operas. The players scream their parts for like 6 hours. Anyway. Then he goes backstage. Chirtun here means he comes out on stage, and everybody says, Shanak has appeared. The black-capped wizard has appeared. Oh, look, there's Merlin. Okay? Oh, look, there's Merlin. Merlin has come. Ser Young. Ser, everybody says, look, Merlin is here. Young. Champun Korangyan. But it's not Merlin, is it? It was Joe Schmo, the dance master. Okay? But they don't say, look. They don't say, look, Joe Schmo has appeared. Like the Snow White lady. I don't know what the actress's name was. But I knew when she came onto the film, in my heart, I said, ah, Snow White is here. I didn't say Mary Smith is here. You see what I mean? Okay? You relate to them as what they appear. Okay? The part they're playing. Dog. Sadie? Look, there's Sadie. Okay. Jab Kurangin. Yar Logne. Then he goes backstage. Chugyao Ki Park Che. He puts on, they do these mask dances. They wear a mask. He puts on the Chugyao, means the Dharma King. So there's always a Dharma King in Tibetan opera. So then he puts on the mask of the Dharma King. Tabu Tene. Chirtumba. He comes back on stage. Panna, that should be Panna, it's misspelled. Chugyao Re, and then you say what? look, here comes the Dharma King. You don't say, here comes Joe Schmo dressed as the Dharma King. Okay? You say, Snow White's there. Look, Snow White came. Now Robin Hood's there. Okay, could be the same actor. Okay. Ray Seryang, Dundu means, but in reality, it's just the same champion. It's the same dancing master, playing different roles. Okay? And Deshindu, just so. Chaemin Dawade Gimbana, Mingmin Dawade Dokyang, they may be wearing different costumes. They may be calling themselves by different names, but Dundu, it's all just the dance master. They're all just the one dance master. Kurang Yimbatar, just so. Gyawa Dorje Chang Chigni, the one Vajra Dara, the one Buddha who teaches the secret teachings, in the George Clooney, in GQ dress. Shakyatupa, he dances as Shakyamuni. Jetsun Losandapa, he dances as Jetsun Kapa. Rangi Lama, he dances as your personal teacher. Even your fifth grade, right? Even your fifth grade personal teacher. Rangi number 10 by Yin Pei, number Mindawa Tsamle. They look like different people, but Lo Chi, come on, they're the same person. It's the same person. Has been dancing through your life in different forms, okay? In different forms. And so I'll conclude with the next sentence. Before you meditate on any particular subject in our tradition, you are encouraged to bring to mind your own heart teacher. Why? Just bringing their image to mind is enough to collect extraordinary good karma. And then you start your meditation before you have a chance to get angry at anybody. Okay, like while your mind has all that good karma, then you start your meditation. Because then you'll have a fantastic meditation. So just bring your heart teacher to mind for a few moments and then go into your meditation session. And the good karma of looking on them will make for a great meditation, especially if you recall that they have been dancing through your life in different forms your whole life. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your grade school teachers, the kid who pulled your hair, you know, your boss at work, your partner, you know, like that, the next president. They've been playing your whole life. They've been running backstage and changing the clothes and the name and the face, and they come out and pretend that there's someone new in your life, but it's not. It's all the same. It's been the same person all along. Your heart teacher. It's always been your heart teacher. Okay? Okay? That's like fantastic way to spend tonight. All right? So we'll give away it's a tradition in Tibet that after a teaching, you give away the karma to a higher goal. So I suggest we give it away that the next president should be very successful, healthy, sane, sensitive, peaceful, you know, good leader for the whole world. Okay? You ready? You ready? We do? Okay. Sashi. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.